Arizona News Radio. Our state is campaign headquarters for the four Republican presidential hopefuls. They are here for tonight's 6 p.m. debate in Mesa, but they're making lots of appearances today in other places. Frontrunner Mitt Romney and his wife were in Chandler this morning.
This president has no plan to turn around the economy, no plan to eliminate the deficit, no plan to fix Medicare and Social Security and keep them solvent forever. He's out of ideas. He's out of excuses. And in 2012, we'll put him out of the White House.
Arizona Congressman Dave Schweikert, like many, will be watching the debate tonight, and he is still undecided.
It's the most enthusiastic I've ever seen a presidential preference primary here in Arizona, ever.
Good news for those who hike or visit Mount Lemmon. The Forest Service has announced no more fees will be charged for parking along the roadway up there. An appeals court ruled it violated federal law. Bob Baker, Arizona News Radio.
This check of your KVNX traffic, a service of ThermaCare. 4 o'clock hour, gang. We still have that wreck. Highway 347 near Riggs Road. Also look for a collision. Broadway Road at Ironwood. We still have that collision. Northbound I-17 at Bethany Home Road. ThermaCare works differently. It's the only wrap with patented heat cells that penetrate deep to relax, soothe, and unlock tight muscles for up to 16 hours of back pain relief. Can your patch say that? Here's your Wednesday afternoon forecast.
Jim Howell from the KFNX Weather Center. Well, we are heading for that 80-degree mark later this week. Tomorrow, we'll see another 78. And then by Friday and Saturday, we should be hitting that 80 right on the nose. We cool things off a bit on Sunday, back to the low 70s. Jim Howell, KFNX News Talk Radio, 1100.
Thank you, Jimmy. KFNX News Time is 4:05. Currently here in Midtown, we are at 74 degrees. Our next news will be in 30 minutes or when it breaks. You're listening to KFNX News Talk Radio 1100. I'm Chet Reynolds, and you're up to date.
As a proud father of five daughters, I knew someday the wedding bells would be ringing, my wallet dry. So in order to save some money, I decided that all of their special days would be on the same day.
I can't believe this.
Can't believe what? I've been engaged for 10 years waiting for you.
It's only because you took the first one to come along.
Take that back. Justin's a good
man. Girls, this is no time to bicker. It's go time, ladies.
There's an easier way to say it. Get online. Go to geico.com. Get a quote. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance.
One thing I've learned on my journey to help save people money on car insurance is that folks across the country like convenience. And what could be more convenient than visiting geico.com? We can manage your policy, pay your bill online, just about anything you need. And it's open 24/7. It's kind of like popping into the ultimate convenience store, except we save people money. And we don't have beef jerky.
For a free rate quote, visit geico.com to see how much you could save. Geico, 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance.
Lou Dobbs, afternoons at 1 on KFNX.
Yeah.
Money never sleeps, pal.
What we've got here is a failure to accumulate.
I'm putting two of my bravest financial officers on the mission.
Howie! My financial future is at stake!
Welcome to Legalese. This is your host, Jack Wilinchek. Your regular host, Dennis Wilinchek, is tied up in court. Today on the show, we're talking financial planning, which is something that I know I don't know a lot about, and probably a lot of our listeners are also in the dark. I have three guests on the show today. Ken Edwins, who you're a certified financial planner, right?
No, actually, I'm a chartered financial consultant, but I'm also a financial planner.
Okay. What's the difference?
Well, the financial planner is a designation that you get through licenses through the state and the federal government, so you have to have a Series 7 and a 64, 65, and Series 64, 65. And that allows you to do the financial planning. Financial planning is actually an aspect of investment planning.
Okay.
So it's use the designation to further your education.
But you were saying to me off the air that it's not, you don't necessarily have to have that license. Unlike, say, you know, to be a lawyer, you got to have a bar license. You don't necessarily have to have that license to do financial planning.
No, it's what I was referring to is that you have to have the state and federal licenses to do financial planning. You don't have to have necessarily a designation.
Okay.
Although the certified financial planning designation, the CHFC, the COU,
right,
all of those help enhance your ability to work with your clients and with business, small businesses.
Okay, so I was mistaken. You do have to be licensed.
Yeah, you do have to be licensed.
Okay.
Yeah.
We've also got on the show Cameron Black, who is a CFA, also a chartered financial analyst. Welcome to the show, Cameron.
Thank you very much.
I understand you're the vice president of the Phoenix CFA Society?
Correct, yeah. This year I'm vice president of the local CFA Society. And since we were talking about designations, the chartered financial analyst designation is put out by the CFA Institute, which is it's a global not-for-profit organization that actually comprises the world's largest association of investment professionals, because it truly is global. There's about 108,000 members. About two-thirds of those are in the Americas, North and South America. The other third are found in Asia and Europe and the Middle East. But interestingly, the membership is growing much more rapidly overseas than it is here. But still, we remain.
We'll get to that later in the show too. You know, this is becoming such an international field. You know, for example, being a lawyer, you know, we don't often deal with people in the Middle East or in China. But for what you guys do, that's becoming the core of the profession, isn't it? Dealing with people in places, you know, on the other side of the planet. We've also got on the show Brian Jackson, who's also CFA. And Brian, you're with Arizona Bank?
Correct. I'm with Arizona Bank and Trust as a portfolio manager. I do financial planning as well. And I'm on the CFA Society board as well as treasurer for that board. And in addition to the CFA designation, I'm also a certified financial planner, which is similar to the CFA designation in some respects, but it also delves more deeply into retirement planning, tax planning, estate planning.
Okay. And I forgot to mention, too, Cameron Black is with Arizona Blue Cross Blue Shield, right?
Yeah, my day job, I'm treasury director there.
Okay. And Ken Edwins also is with Snorin Ridge Wealth Management, which is an office of MetLife?
Yes, it is.
Okay. All right. Tell me what we're going to do today. Just telling you guys off the air, you know, this is a real – that's the beauty of talk radio is you talk about – you just talk about things. So today we're going to be talking about a few items in the news. And I'd like to get you guys your take on it as financial planners. First of all, the European Union is going to bail out Greece with 172 billion euros. You know, my first thought is how could it possibly affect us here? But, you know, I'm not a big believer in the butterfly effect. But let me know what you guys think about that. Is that something you're factoring into the decisions you're making?
Well, absolutely. I mean, I think you can just see from the news flow that from a global perspective, the markets are reacting very sensitively to the incremental news that comes out of that part of the world. And one of the reasons is, you know, on the one hand, you say, well, Greece is such a small percent of global GDP. How could it possibly matter? They don't export much. How could it affect us? But really, as being part of the European Union, all of the major European banks held large pieces of Greek debt. And if that debt drops in value, when it drops in value, then those banks take a haircut on their capital. It does create that cascade effect. So, indeed, it is a butterfly effect, as we're talking about.
From what I've read, Greece has been something of a ticking time bomb for a while now. Of course, I'm more interested in the legal reasons for that. I know they have a especially socialist, you know, kind of economy there. I think I read that if you want to be a pharmacist or something in Greece, you got to buy like a $100,000 license just to open up a business. Is that, you know, would you guys agree with what Cameron just said, that, you know, this is something that people should have? This is a real problem, what's going on in Greece.
I would definitely agree that it is a significant problem. I think they're making incremental steps to improve the situation. The European Central Bank recently announced the long-term refinance operation, which liquefied the banks and probably prevented a Lehman Brothers-style collapse of one of the European banks. We're not sure which one. And that gave them some time to come to an ultimate resolution. The situation in Greece is pretty bad, though. You've got very high unemployment, and the austerity measures that they're putting in place are unsustainable. If you look, even under the current agreement, debt to GDP levels are supposed to be around 120% by 2022. And I think this is a real test case of whether severe austerity will work as a long-term fix for over-indebted countries. And so far, the track record doesn't seem too encouraging. Getting back to your question about regulatory burdens, Greece has tremendous issues with business development. It's not a competitive country. They have a very poor record of tax collection. In fact, I have a friend who was over there recently, and everywhere he went around the country, if he wanted a receipt or wanted to pay by credit card, the cost was higher than the cash price. So there's rampant tax evasion, and it's a very precarious situation. But Germany, on the other hand, is very committed to keeping things going because they don't want to see a breakup of the euro.
Yeah, right. Okay. Another big issue in the news is Iran is Israel is threatening to potentially strike Iran, potentially launch some kind of a strike on Iran. Obviously, that's the most direct way that's going to affect the rest of the world is through I'm thinking oil prices. But I'd like to know what you guys think about that. I think that maybe I'm personally invested in this because I'm Jewish, but I think Israel has a certain right to do whatever it wants. I know it's done this before. It's done this, I think, at least two times before. There was kind of an unprompted nuclear strike on Iraq, and another one. I'm sorry, not a nuclear strike. Israel isn't striking anybody with nuclear weapons. I'm sorry, but an airstrike. It was an airstrike on Iraq. That has a certain effect on the markets back when it happened, the Israeli strike on Iraq. Okay, we've got about a minute before the break here. It was just said in the news that U.S. unemployment is back up to 9%. Frankly, I'm kind of tired of hearing about those statistics, but what do you guys see real quick going forward with the unemployment rate?
Well, I think the unemployment rate will probably stay high for quite some time. And that does the same thing as, what's going on with Israel and Iran, is it creates uncertainty for the investor and for our individual clients, and we end up spending quite a bit of time helping them come up with strategies and tactical approaches to the market to help them manage their fear and the risk that may be coming down the road.
Okay. All right, we got to take a break here. This is Jack Wilenchek on Legalese, and today we're talking financial planning. If you got a question, feel free to call in 602-277-KFNX. That's 602-277-5369.
Check us out on the web at 1100KFNX.com.
Since 1991, the law offices of Wilenchek & Bartness have provided the quality business litigation service that you'd find at a big firm with small firm atmosphere. Wilenchek & Bartness focus on cases involving breach of contract, real estate litigation, construction defect, business fraud, and breach of fiduciary duty. For professional yet very personal legal representation, call Wilenchek & Bartness today at 602-606-2810. That's 602-606-2810.
Huzzah! The Renaissance Festival is back!
It's awesome!
Love it. It's great for the family. All our kids love it. That's why we come here every year.
Weekends now through April 1st.
Good times can be had by all.
It's the best time we have every year. It's a great time for everyone.
Join us at the Renaissance Festival! Huzzah!
Come and have a turkey leg.
The Renaissance Festival is back! Weekends now through April 1st.
That festival is so awesome!
Discount tickets available at Fry's and Fry's Marketplace or online at RenFestInfo.com. Presented by Delta Airlines, Fry's, Pepsi, Budweiser, and Guinness.
You gotta come see it. You come out here and you really have a good time. My kids love it.
There's lots of shops to go to.
Hair braiding.
Hoof face painting.
Oh, and I really like the meat sticks, the turkey. Whoa!
Huzzah!
There's so much going on. Make sure you come out early and stay all day.
Kids ages 5 through 12 are free February 25th and 26th at the Renaissance Festival with coupons available at participating Arriba Mexican Grill, Phoenix Flower Shops, and Hall of Frames while supplies last.
The Lars Larson Show is on the air.
The father who decided to use his 45 and shoot up his daughter's laptop because his daughter did something particularly lousy. She went on Facebook and criticized her parents because she had to do her chores. And she wasn't happy about not being paid to do her chores. So dad takes the laptop out, puts a bunch of bullet holes in it, and he tells her, you're going to have to buy the next one with your own job. Seems kind of reasonable to me.
Tune in to The Lars Larson Show, late nights on KFNX.
I try to sleep, they're wide awake, they won't let me alone. They don't get paid to take vacations.
Welcome back to Legalese. This is your host, Jack Willinchek. Your regular host, Dennis Willinchek, is tied up in court. Today on the show, we're talking about financial planning. I've got three guests, Ken Edwins, Cameron Black, and Brian Jackson, and all have various confusing, to me at least, designations in the financial planning arena. Before we went to the break, we were talking about some items in the news, the potential Israeli airstrike on Iran. Or who's to say if they can do it by air? I don't want to reveal Israeli state secrets here, but the potential Israeli strike on Iran. Also, we're talking a little bit about Greece. You guys were saying to me off the air that it could be a bigger problem than anybody realizes, a bigger problem than a financial problem. It could potentially erupt into a real revolt. Why don't you talk about that?
Well, we've already seen some images out of Greece now. There's protests. They're setting fires. The austerity that's being pushed on them by the rest of the European Union, predominantly Germany and France, is really really painful. Huge cuts to pension plans. People are going to have to change work habits. There's going to be a brain drain that's already begun because the most employable people are leaving the country, and it really I think it was the IMF that recently came out and said that this austerity could push them into a period of at least 10 years with no growth.
Wow. So are we looking at a big collapse there in Europe, potentially like I guess another big collapse? Let me know your thoughts.
Well, it seems clear that the Eurozone will probably have some recession this year. And the risk is that the contagion that's going on in Greece could spread to other countries such as Portugal, where both of these countries have very high debt levels, big unemployment problems. Speaking to the, you know, the revolt potential and the social unrest, the younger population in Greece is largely unemployed. I think the percentage rate for unemployed people in Greece in the 16 to 24 age group is around 50%. And so that's a serious situation. Now, tying this back into financial planning and managing a client's money, and this speaks also to the broader theme of Iran and other geopolitical issues, I think going forward, investment managers and financial planners need to have a geopolitical strategy as part of their overall risk management. 20 years ago or so, following the Berlin Wall fall and Russia's fall, the U.S. was largely unchecked as a global power. And then at the same time, we also had a demographic wave where baby boomers were reaching their peak earning years. So geopolitics didn't play a big part in financial planning and an investment manager's strategy. That's totally changed now because we're going through a period of deleveraging in the developed economies. We've got unrest in parts of Europe, the Arab Spring, geopolitical risk between Iran and Israel, what's going on in Syria. Yeah. So as a financial planner, that's something we really have to look at.
There's a lot to be thinking about. We've actually got a caller on the line here, Dave from Pinal County. Dave, are you there?
How are you?
Doing good, Dave. You've got a question for our financial planners?
Right, and they can also just give me ideas of where, you know, to go and get this information. I'm looking for some choices for retirement planning, et cetera, for a small business. You know, I mean, you know, two or three employees kind of thing. I've already got a SEP, you know, and also regular IRAs and some precious metals, but I also like to see what else is out there.
All right, guys.
Yeah,
everybody seems to be looking at you, Ken.
Yeah, I guess that's just what happened. Yeah, say, Dave, give me a call at the office at 480-222-0064 tomorrow sometime, or you can leave me a message tonight, and we'd be happy to sit down and chat with you about this.
Yeah, I'm looking for online information.
Oh.
I want to read it and make my own decisions.
That's a good question. Yeah, in general, what kind of websites do you guys – What kind of websites do you guys track, and you know, What's the big things in your field?
In terms of websites that we track?
Well, at least for this guy, yeah, in particular.
Oh,
yeah.
You know, I think you can go to, if you have Quicken software, you can sort of do your own budget analysis and stuff.
Like what kind of blogs are you guys following, that kind of thing?
Oh, I'm following primarily investments. We do a lot of technical analysis, so we're tracking.
But for somebody like Dave,
I think for somebody like Dave, there's a lot of resources out there. Kiplinger's, for example, yeah. Smart Money, 401k.com, I believe, has a lot of resources for retirement planning. There's definitely things out there, and if you're looking more toward investment analysis, economic analysis, that's a totally different kettle of fish.
Yeah.
Now, what I'm looking for is to try to decide, other than what I already have, investigated and am working on, like a SEP, precious metals
right.
and things like that, what other good things are there out there nowadays for, a small business, especially with a few employees, to where can put aside monies, not only for myself but also for the employees and that kind of thing. Without getting wrapped around the axle, and I like to do things myself.
So you mean in terms of retirement vehicles, not specific investments, correct? As in the SEP
right.
versus a 401k versus profit sharing plans?
Right. In other words, like a SEP, is a decent way to do things, but there's other things out there. I'm sure precious metals, of course, but there's other things out there in the way of vehicles that I should be able to invest into and manage myself.
SEP IRA is a great vehicle for a small business. Profit sharing plans are also pretty attractive. I would generally stay away from the 401k because there's a little more complexity involved. So I think you're going down the right path. It would just really depend on how profitable your business is. I'd be happy to talk to you offline about some different ideas, but it's probably too much to go into in one radio program.
Yeah, okay. All right, Dave, we appreciate your call.
Thanks.
Thank you. So getting back to our discussions of world affairs here, we were talking about Greece, the effect that potentially could have on the rest of Europe, which frankly sounds pretty scary, but I know we've been hearing this for a while, so I'm wondering if there's anything immediately looming. I guess this bailout now is probably bringing it to a head, so we're going to be seeing something soon, huh?
Well, I think this bailout actually is kicking the can down the road a little longer.
Yeah.
So this is going to create some stability for a period of time, along with the long-term refinance operation that the ECB has put forth. Really, the long-term refinance operation is very similar to the Fed's version of quantitative easing or money printing. So I think there is a potential for a flare-up later in the year. But for now, it seems that risk assets are probably a good place to invest, especially for an optimistic investor.
Yeah, the LTRO is very similar in effect, but it's a totally different mechanism. I mean, the long-term refinancing operation basically allowed banks to tender collateral so that they can fund themselves with the European Central Bank for up to 3 years at 1%. So that creates a situation where the banks don't constantly have to go to market to try and sell commercial paper or short-term bonds to fund themselves. They can just post collateral at the European Central Bank. They reduce the collateral requirements, and it's locked up for 3 years. So it really was a big deal, but it is, as Brian indicated, it is a can kick rather than a permanent solution.
Yeah, I get the feeling there's a lot of can kicking going on, but well, we'll talk about that later in the program too. What about the unemployment rate? I've got the news item here. U.S. unemployment rate back up to 9%. What do you guys see going on with that? Is that going to stabilize, or even historically, I'm not sure what's been going on with that.
I think there's potential for the U.S. unemployment rate to continue to drift lower. We're seeing good job data coming out recently. We've seen the lowest weekly jobless claims since 2008. The rub, however, is that there are a lot of people that are discouraged workers that are not counted in the official unemployment rate.
Hmm.
And if you take –
I'm feeling discouraged. Yeah, they're not counting me.
Actually, if you look at those that are marginalized, they're working part-time but would like to work full-time, or those that just stopped looking altogether, that's about an additional 11 million people. So the actual unemployment rate, if you use that measure, is much higher than 9%, closer to 15%. And therefore, we believe anyway that the Fed will not raise rates for quite a period of time. They've already committed to no hikes until 2014. We think they'll people wait at least that long, if not longer, even in the face of improving official unemployment statistics, which we do expect this year.
Okay. And yeah. Just touching on the unemployment, another phenomenon that we're seeing in those high unemployment numbers is there's really a huge difference in the percentage of unemployed people that have a high school degree or less versus those that are college educated. You know, if you have an advanced degree, the unemployment is extremely low, somewhere around 4%, I believe. But for those that only have a high school diploma or less, it's very, very high. So that's another, slightly disturbing aspect about the unemployment rate.
And I think you can expect the unemployment rate to stay close to where it is until the housing market gets online.
Okay.
It is historically such a large part of our economy.
Yeah.
That until that really starts to kick in, driving those numbers, particularly the individuals who don't have those advanced degrees, is going to be very difficult, particularly with the, reduction in the manufacturing part of our economy in the last 10, 15 years.
Yeah, I'm seeing there's a New York Times article from February 18th that said mortgage-backed securities are making a comeback despite their extremely well-known risks. So we've got about a minute here till the break. I think we'll probably save that one for the next two segments. We're talking here with three financial planners here on the show. If you want to call in for a little bit of financial advice, feel free to do so. It's 602-277-KFNX. That's 602-277-KFNX. We got about a minute before the break here. I think after we come back from the break, we'll talk about what's on most people's minds, the presidential election. I've got some things that the various Republican candidates have said they stand for as far as the economy goes. So I'll get your guys' opinion on these things. Not that I'm asking you to endorse a particular candidate, but that's probably what talking about a lot of this. So this is Jack Wilinchek on Dennis Wilinchek's Legalese, KFNX 1100 AM.
CNN Radio, I'm Edgar Tragetz. It's Rick Santorum in the spotlight tonight as he and fellow Republican presidential contenders face off to debate in Mesa, Arizona. Santorum is either essentially tied or leading Mitt Romney in a number of recent polls. Arizona and Michigan next week hold their primaries. Nearly 50 people dead with hundreds injured. That from a commuter train crash in Buenos Aires today. Luis Carlos Velez with CNN en Español says brake failure may be the cause.
The train slammed into the barrier at the end of the platform at the Once station. That's the 11th station that happened during the morning rush hour.
It's being called one of the worst Argentine train wrecks in decades. The Obama administration wants to cut the corporate tax rate from 35% to 28%. That's one of the main proposals from the overhaul of the corporate tax system. The White House says that should be common ground between Democrats and Republicans. The most trusted name in news, this is CNN Radio.
Arizona News Radio, it's nearly time for the nationally televised Republican presidential debate to begin in Mesa. Traffic flow in the East Valley has been disrupted near the Art Center all afternoon. Candidates working the state for votes. Hopeful Rick Santorum was in Tucson today at a Tea Party rally. He says the government is creating a state of dependency.
It's more and more freedom being taken away from you by a group of people who believe that they know better than you.
Santorum still trails Mitt Romney by a few points in Arizona. Tucson police have broken up a heroin traffic operation. Sergeant Mariah Hawk.
Undercover operatives identified not only high-volume suppliers of heroin in the Tucson area, but also a primary source of the heroin entering the United States from Mexico. This heroin was ultimately distributed throughout the Tucson area.
A dozen people were busted. Nearly $8 million worth of heroin was seized. Bob Baker, Arizona News Radio.
This check of your KFNX traffic, once again, a service of the 99-cent only stores. Look for a collision Price Road north of Broadway. Also, we have an accident 7th Street north of Dunlap. It's in the Cape Creek area. Also, you'll find another accident Broadway Road at Ironwood in the East Valley. 99 Cent Only Stores has the perfect solution for organizing non-woven storage containers for only 99.99 cents each. They're great for organizing and storing toys, books, and much more at the 99 Cent Only Store. Here's your Wednesday afternoon forecast.
Jim Howell from the KFNX Weather Center. Well, we are heading for that 80-degree mark later this week. Tomorrow, we'll see another 78. And then by Friday and Saturday, we should be hitting that 80 right on the nose. We cool things off a bit on Sunday, back to the low 70s. Jim Howell, KFNX News Talk Radio, 1100.
Thank you, Jimmy. Currently here in Midtown, we're at 76 degrees. Our next news will be in 30 minutes or when it breaks. You're listening to KFNX News Talk Radio 1100. I'm Chet Reynolds, and you're up to date.
Since 1991, the law offices of Willinchek & Bartness have provided the quality business litigation service that you'd find at a big firm with small firm atmosphere. Willinchek & Bartness focus on cases involving breach of contract, real estate litigation, construction defect, business fraud, and breach of fiduciary duty. For professional yet very personal legal representation, call Willinchek & Bartness today at 602-606-2810. That's 602-606-2810.
Attention women business owners looking for strategies to grow your business and build professional relationships with other successful women? Then we invite you to join the Phoenix chapter of the National Association of Women Business Owners. NABO is one of the five most influential organizations in the Valley, according to the Business Journal. We offer many networking opportunities, business education seminars, and a nationally recognized mentoring program. For more info, go to nawbophx.org or call 602-772-4985. That's 602-772-4985.
Escape to Sedona. Relax in our heated pool, treat yourself to spa services, and take in the beautiful Sedona Red Rock views. Enjoy a three-day, two-night stay in a studio suite at the Bell Rock Inn for just $178, a saving of over $100. Book your reservations now for this special offer. Call Crazy Coyote Activities and Tours toll-free 877-444-8044. Terms and conditions apply. Escape to Sedona now. Call 877-444-8044.
Did you know short sales can erase all home loan debt?
Don't walk away. Many banks and the government now pay sellers to complete short sales.
I'm Rick Elton.
And I'm Dave Elton. Elton Realty has served the Valley for over 15 years.
Every short sale is different. Outcomes are not guaranteed.
Call for a free consultation that best serves your situation and get a fresh start today.
480-451-3318. That's 480-451-3318.
Or visit eltonrealty.com.
I was gambling in Havana.
Welcome back to Legalese. This is your host, Jack Willinchek. Dennis Willinchek is tied up in court. Today we're talking financial planning. And I threw out the number for the break. I'll throw it out again. That's 602-277-KFNX. That's 602-277-5369. I have on the show three financial planners, Ken Edwins, Cameron Black, and Brian Jackson. And I think we'll talk a little bit about what's going on with taxes. I'll admit, I'm always the first one to have my head buried in the sand and not to know what's in the news. But let's talk about what's going on there.
Well, certainly there's a lot of question marks, especially at the end of this year. The local CFA Society recently had their market forecast dinner, and one of the panelists is a policy expert. And while some of the other panelists were fairly bullish about the outlook, his outlook was very tempered, and one of the key reasons was taxes. The end of the year, the Bush tax cuts expire. Also, beginning next year, there's an additional tax on unearned income for those that have income over $200,000. And then Obama recently set forth in his budget, his plan is to have dividends taxed at your marginal tax rate. So for the highest earners, that would mean dividends would go from currently being taxed at 15% to something well north of 40%. So that will be a big hit, and just this uncertainty surrounding the tax situation, I think, is an overhang in the back of minds of a lot of investors.
I feel like it's an unnecessary uncertainty too, kind of like the uncertainty that we had, with raising the debt ceiling. It feels like there's no reason to have this kind of legislative, these kind of legislative issues. I don't know why we can't just have an early answer to this stuff. But, you know, that brings us to another question. What is the impact, as you guys have seen it come through, what is the impact of raising the U.S. debt ceiling? And is there another downgrade potentially for U.S. credit that we might see down the road? What do you think?
I think there is another potential downgrade looming. It probably will be after the election. I think we're in election politics at this point, and there's not going to be a whole lot done until afterward. And the rating agencies seem to have taken more of a wait-and-see approach. They saw the damage that was done following the initial downgrade. So I think we will potentially be downgraded, but it will probably be after the election. I think we're definitely on an unsustainable path of debt. We have $6 trillion in debt that's been added in the last few years. Obama's recent budget is going to add to that. And it will only go on for so long. Mm-hmm. At some point, the markets will probably force politicians to make some significant structural reforms.
Yeah, I would agree with that. I think, Jack, you're right that what it creates in terms of an investment environment is a lot of uncertainty for the individual investor and the individual business. And I think Brian's right as well, is that much like has been happening in Europe, eventually the markets will force politicians to make harder decisions, which will be more painful. And I think, to your point, what you're alluding to is that why not sit down and make some of these decisions now as opposed to waiting until it's so absolutely difficult to do
it. It's kind of a scary game they're playing, in my opinion.
Yeah. I mean, I remember in 2005 listening to Greenspan speak before the Senate Banking Committee and saying that we had about 5 years before we needed to take time to start to deal with our deficit and Social Security and issues. Well, it's now, how many years is it now? Is it, what, 7 now? You know, so it's, you know, we're still, you know, cycling these questions.
Yeah, if you look at the current budget dynamics, estimates are that by 2022, entitlement spending, Social Security, Medicare, and Medicaid, and the interest payments on the debt would equal around 75% of government revenue. So obviously that would squeeze out many other programs, including defense. Yeah. So we'll see some significant cuts, and it does lead to uncertainty for the investor. And one of the big uncertainties that we're seeing right now is what to do with capital gains, because capital gains tax rates are expected to go much higher. And I'm sure you both also have clients that are dealing with capital gains issues, and in the past we've been spreading them out over several years. But now, with the potential for capital gains rates to spike, do you accelerate those gains and take the taxes now, or do you gamble that maybe they'll extend the Bush tax cuts come 2013?
Yeah, I actually had clients a couple of years ago actually take some of their gains off the table in fear that the laws would change right away. So if these laws become effect, then it will affect the individual investor pretty dramatically on a day-to-day basis.
Yeah. I've got a question here. It's kind of on the academic side, but some people say that the failure of Lehman Brothers was in part due to too much reliance on computer modeled analysis and many people say caused the kind of groupthink. So the question is, what part of financial analysis and financial planning is really your computer, and which part is your gut? I just want to say this reminds me of an old Isaac Asimov story. I think it's called The Machine That Won the War, and the story is about how, it takes place in the future, and everybody, says this machine they built, this incredible machine, picked the perfect strategy to win the war, So somebody goes to talk to the guy that built the machine. He asks him, well, how'd you build such an incredible machine? He says, oh, that machine, there was no machine. I flipped a coin, and that's how I made the decision what to do. So. Is there a lot of coin flipping, I guess, is my question, in real financial analysis? How much of it is – even the stuff that's computer modeled, I think, probably a lot of that just basically comes down to coin flipping. But let me know what you think about that. Is there too much computer analysis, or do you agree with that statement that the failure of Lehman Brothers – it's a pretty bold statement – is in part due to too much reliance on computers?
That's a pretty broad statement. If you just take that statement alone, then you throw out the history that led up to it in terms of the deregulation or the modernization, by the Finance Committee, the overturning of the bucket laws, the issue of credit default swaps, the issue of, risk ratios being 40 to 1 as opposed to 8 to 1. There are so many factors that led up to Lehman Brothers, in including, Paulson and the meetings that were taking place at the White House and at the Treasury Department. I mean, You know, it's a little bit like saying, you know, which butterfly caused it to rain last week, you know? was it the butterfly in Portugal, or was it the butterfly on, you know, Newport Beach? I mean, there are so many factors that went into that. You could take it all the way back to, you know, just the decisions that our politicians have made not to deal with some of these other issues, you know, that and not focus on growth in the economy as opposed to, well...
We won't go there, huh?
But broadly speaking, a lack of understanding about the risks and the interconnectedness of the risks, some of which was supposed to be housed by those computer models. I think that is true. So while I wouldn't – I agree with Ken. I wouldn't blame the computer models completely for Lehman Brothers. The group think the fact that all of these institutions are using similar risk models, and in fact, it's garbage in, garbage out.
That's right.
People don't understand. Mm-hmm.
That's exactly right.
Yeah, understand the connections. You're going to wind up with
poor
results.
The computer formula that actually, you know, actually would measure the risk associated with a credit default swap, you know, had its own data associated with it. So you would plug in the data. The problem was, it perhaps didn't go back far enough in history to say, well, what happens if you have a real estate meltdown in the whole country? What would those numbers look like, and what would it do to these credit default swaps? Well, it never happened, so everyone assumed it couldn't happen, which these guys have been around long enough to know that as soon as someone says it can't happen, you probably need to get your rain gear because it's going to happen then.
Yeah. Well, yeah, of course. I mean, when it comes down to it, there's somebody sitting, you know, down and writing these computer analyses. We got a little bit less than a minute here before we go to the break. Again, if you want to call in, we're talking financial planning at 602-277-KFNX. That's 602-277-5369. And when we come back from the break, again, I think we'll talk a little bit about what the candidates running for president stand for as far as economics goes and what you guys think about it. This is Jack Wilinchek on KFNX 1100.
You can win a weekend getaway to Sedona or Scottsdale. Tune in to the Crazy Travel Show every Thursday at 3 p.m. for a fun look at travel within Arizona and out. The Crazy Travel Show Getaway Giveaway every Thursday at 3 p.m.
Since 1991, the law offices of Wilinchek & Bartness have provided the quality business litigation service that you'd find at a big firm with small firm atmosphere. Wilinchek & Bartness focus on cases involving breach of contract, real estate litigation, construction defect, business fraud, and breach of fiduciary duty. For professional yet very personal legal representation, call Wilinchek & Bartness today at 602-606-2810. That's 602-606-2810.
I have the answer. Call me for this link and you will call me back. I have the answer. Who was the dynamic leader that history tells us that when he went to meet his maker, that his eyes were not dim nor his vigor abated? I have the answer. I urge you, choose science and not celebrities in your pursuit of an active lifestyle well beyond statistical predictions. I have the answer. Is your energy level low and your health insurance costs high? I have the answer. Tired of buying grocery store produce from third world countries that have been sprayed with who knows what? I have the answer. I have nutrient dense, locally grown produce, and so much more. It costs a few bucks, but it's worth $1 million. Charisma culture is our name, and applying gifts is our game. I have the answer. 602-762-2601. 602-762-2601. 602-762-2601.
Your home for the Michael Savage Show. Monday through Friday starting at 5. Only on 1100 KFNX. And streaming live at 1100KFNX.com.
Welcome back to Legalese. This is your host, Jack Wilinchek, filling in for Dennis Wilinchek. And today on the show, we're talking financial planning. I have three guests, Ken Edwins, Cameron Black, and Brian Jackson, who all have various confusing designations in the financial planning arena. And I guess I failed to ask the most obvious question, which is, since you guys do financial strategies, what are your financial strategies for the upcoming year? So let's start with you, Cameron.
Well, I don't advise individual clients. I work for an insurance company, so we're focused on predictable income. So that means a lot of fixed income instruments. And right now it's extremely tough to find yield. An interesting factoid, the S&P 500 is actually yielding more than 10-year treasury bonds right now. So there's a big question about where the risk really lies. Traditionally people think of stocks as much more risky, but of course long-duration bonds can lose value very rapidly. So this is something that we're worried about and that we try and plan around and make prudent decisions on. Again, tying it back to our CFA market forecast dinner, we had some esteemed panelists. And generally speaking, they were fairly bullish about equities, given the low valuations. But everybody's talking about hedging tail risk right now, as we've already touched on Europe, we've touched on the Middle East.
You said hedging tail risk.
Yeah. So while
explain what that means.
Well, if you're of the opinion that stocks are inexpensive at current levels, or at least reasonably priced, so that if you feel like they're a good long term investment for yourself, there's still the short term risk that Israel does go in and bomb Iran, and then Iran blows up a few ships in the Straits of Hormuz, and oil prices spike, and we go back into recession. Those risks exist. So there's a lot of planning, amongst my peers and colleagues. How do you plan for those tail risks? I'm sure that Ken and Brian have some opinions on that as well.
Okay. Brian, we'll go to you. Brian Jackson.
We're fairly bullish for the year, but it is somewhat balanced between equities and fixed income. We do think that any investor that has a long-term horizon needs to be invested in the stock market, because that's where you are going to get your growth. As Cameron mentioned, you can get more income in many blue-chip stocks than you can in the treasury market. However, treasuries do represent a bit of an insurance policy against further contagion in Europe or some geopolitical risk that could happen later this year or in the future. We think emerging markets specifically look attractive for investors. The valuations are lower than U.S. stocks, and they're coming off a pretty terrible year where emerging markets were down over 20%, and U.S. stocks were basically flat. So far, we've seen a bit of a reversal this year. We also think commodities represent an important component in a client's portfolio. We talked about oil and whether Iran could have a showdown with the West and with Israel, that there is – in our estimation, no geopolitical risk premium at this time in the price of oil, so we think oil has room to move higher. And gold also represents a good insurance policy. For a more conservative investor that is maybe unwilling to take some of that additional risk that you would find in stocks or in emerging markets or in gold, for example, or commodities, there are opportunities in corporate bonds. You can get some income still, and also in municipal bonds. We think municipal bonds are attractive. And even in the preferred stock space, you can get high single-digit yields in that area of the market, which we think for retirees and more conservative investors is probably an attractive place to look.
Well, I say, there's so much stuff that goes into the analysis you guys do. It's scary. It reminds me of that story about the big machine. I wonder if there isn't somebody sitting back in your office just flipping a coin somewhere.
We're not flipping coins, Jack. We're pretty bullish on
that. That's what I do. Flip a coin.
Yeah. Thanks for letting us know.
Don't hire me as your financial planner, in other words.
Yeah, we're pretty bullish on the market as well. We were talking earlier before the show started that we were thinking that the market might go up, 10 to 12%, and it's already up maybe 8% already. But we're really focusing on the areas of material stocks, industrials, technology, finance, the financial stocks. But we're also, building into our portfolio the ability to move rather quickly and take advantage of the fear that's in the market. So we want to be able to make money on both sides of the equation. So that's what we're helping our clients do. And, I agree with Brian that for the clients that need income, they're nice yields out there and preferreds. So it's going to end up on, your individual situation is going to determine some of that. we're helping our clients do is position themselves tactically so that they can take advantage of some of these sudden downturns, because those are the things that have kept people out of the market. I mean, I still have people come into my office that look at me and say, I don't look at my statements.
Yeah.
You know, I don't want to talk about this.
Yeah.
You know, they just, the emotional impact. So we're trying to build the portfolios in such a way that it allows people some of that emotional easing so that they feel a little bit more comfortable about what they're doing.
Okay. Well, I promised we'd do so, and I guess we'll talk a little bit about, since it's on most people's minds, the people running for president and some of their positions on various economic issues are and what you guys think of them. For example, Rick Santorum supports repealing Obama's national health care plan and also drilling for oil, you know, focusing more on U.S. energy. I know one of you mentioned to me off the air that at this point the U.S. is a net exporter of oil. I can't remember which you guys said that to me, but that's – yeah. Was it you, Ken?
That was me.
Yeah. That was a little surprising to me. I know that we're drilling a lot in North Dakota now.
Yeah, North Dakota, southwestern Texas, there's quite a bit of drilling and oil production going on. It's one of the reasons why some of the industrial stocks are going higher. Like Cummins, they create engines go into trucks that move pipes and move oil and other material. So
back to that butterfly effect kind of stuff that blows my mind.
Yeah, I don't know if Cummins is making a butterfly engine yet, but we'll call them in the morning.
But why don't we talk a little bit about the healthcare plan? I know that I think you're saying to me that that's your bailiwick is the healthcare issue. Or
well, investments is really my bailiwick, but I do know something about the healthcare reform. Yes.
Yeah. What's your take on it?
Well, I would say that the key problem with it is just that it adds to our deficits in an extremely meaningful way. And has hidden taxes in it, as we talked about earlier. You know, things that we haven't even seen the effect of yet. So it really boils down to a question of, is it something that we can afford as a country? And I would say that as the law is currently written, we really can't afford to have it. So I think it's clearly going to be an issue in the election, and people have to decide for themselves. But I'm concerned about the cost.
Okay. How about this? Ron Paul, of course, is for number one, ending the Federal Reserve. Number two, ending the Federal Reserve. Number three, we can't end the Federal Reserve. At least fire Ben Bernanke. Do you guys want to comment on Ron Paul's philosophies at all?
Well, the Federal Reserve has had a pretty bad track record at forecasting the economy, and their two main mandates are to maintain price stability and maintain full employment. And if you look at the historical record, the inflation in the 70s, current unemployment rates quite high, there's certainly an argument that can be made that they really are unable to control some of these things, and maybe they should have a single mandate, which is just price stability, or maybe they shouldn't be there at all. I think it was Milton Friedman, I believe, that said the Federal Reserve would be better served just being a computer that increases the money supply based on population growth.
Right.
And Ron Paul would like to take us back to a gold standard, which would probably be a very difficult transition.
Yeah.
So I think he has some meaningful points. Abolishing the Federal Reserve, however, would add a lot of risk to the overall financial system, because they do act as the lender of last resort, and theoretically they should be acting as lender for good banks, not for banks that are insolvent, but they do play a systemic role, and I think abolishing them altogether is a bit extreme.
Yeah, it's fair to say it's a fairly radical proposition. Yeah. Mitt Romney has made a part of his campaign to he wants to open up foreign markets. We've talked a little bit about that already, and I think we'll come back to it. We were saying that's a big part of what you guys do now is watching foreign markets and potentially investing in them. You know, to me, that's what we do as lawyers, it's very local. It's very focused, you know, here in Arizona. So I find it fascinating that, you guys probably are one of the more internationally involved occupations, focusing on investing abroad. What are the places that most catch your eye these days? Obviously China, India. Tell me.
I think focusing on the emerging world in general is where investors need to be focused, because that's where all the growth is coming from. The demographic trends are positive there. The growth is significant there, where the West, the United States has positive demographic trends, but Europe is in decline. Even China on a demographic basis is in decline. But the story is that it's going to be more Eastern-centric. There's going to be more growth coming from that part of the world, and investors need to keep an eye on that, because that's going to really drive the bus going forward, and less so Europe and the United States.
Okay. All right. I want to thank my guests on the show today, Ken Edwins, who's from Sonoran Ridge Wealth Management, as well as Cameron Black from Arizona Blue Cross Blue Shield, and Brian Jackson from Arizona Bank. This is Jack Wilenschek on Dennis Wilenschek's Legalese. Stay tuned for Michael Savage.
He's the voice of choice. Lou Dobbs leads the independent nation. Monday through Friday at 1 p.m. Only on KFNX News Talk Radio 1100. And streaming live at 1100KFNX.com. Homeowners, did you know a burglar could break into your home and get away in just 5 minutes? A locked door may not be enough to keep a thief out of your home. Think about what you can lose. And then think about this. Now you can get a free security system monitored by ADT, the leader in home security. Pick up your phone now and get free hardware, free medical and fire alert, and free activation. It's an $850 value. Just call Protect Your Home, your authorized ADT dealer, at 1-800-948-7434. You'll get 24-hour protection, and there's no cost for parts or activation. So call now about a free security system monitored by ADT. Call 1-800-948-7434. $99 installation charge, 36-month monitoring agreement at $35.99 a month. Call for terms and conditions to this offer and protect your home license numbers. Call now, 1-800-948-7434. That's 1-800-948-7434. You're listening to KFNX News Talk Radio 1100, Cape Creek, Phoenix, the home of Laura Ingraham, weekdays 6 to 9 a.m. KFNX News Time. It's